Hi, welcome back. We're here in the duck call room. Look, we got a special guest, Boss. Welcome back to the duck call room. Thank you for coming in.
Hello, thank you, friend. It's good to be here.
A lot's happened since the last time you've been here.
Yeah.
You turned 50?
I turned 50.
How does that feel?
50.
50 is the new 50.
the new 53.
Yeah, I kind of feel 50. I think mentally I don't, but physically for sure. I'm in the men's basketball league here, and I'm having trouble with running. I just can't do it anymore. Can't.
So do you rest on offense or defense?
Well, no, I just
sit
rest
out
on
there
the
at that 3
bench.
Point.
Like, I can't. I'm on the bench the whole time because I can't.
Yeah, he's going more to the coaching.
Yeah, true. No. That area under the calf to the top of the heel has just, it's gone.
From the top of the calf?
The bottom of the calf down to the top of the heel.
That Achilles area.
That whole area
is out.
Is departed.
Yeah, it's departed, Jay.
And the minute I push just like little simple things, I'm out. So I'm gone.
We're going to have to get you some Omega XL. Send you some first responders there. This side would like to say.
Does that help for Achilles pain?
It's got everything.
Sore joint, it'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
So says Si.
Yeah.
So,
no. Hey, I'm telling you.
No. Hey.
If you got soreness in your joints, it'll help.
Okay. Hey.
That boy said.
Sold.
Yeah. That boy's 74 and ain't ever felt better.
Hey, look at him. He's a picture of health.
I don't know about the picture of health. But, I feel good.
But he may get a new lung, so you never know. Or whatever that thing is that goes
just,
in there.
Oh, no. That was the coolest thing. It's just a piece of...
They're just putting some plastic up in his lung.
Plastic tubing, so to speak.
Yeah.
Up in your lung?
Yeah, this fits in the airway.
They're expanding his airways.
They're called what? Suffer valves, I think.
Suffer valves?
Yeah.
Maybe they should drop a couple of drops of bleach in there, too, when they're in there. Yeah, just to sanitize everything.
Well, I'm having the plastic sanitized before they do it. Okay.
Just to sanitize them old lungs.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I doubt you won't be dropping bleach in your lungs.
No, probably.
You'll probably have a
probably not.
A deprimental...
Don't try that at home.
Yeah. That's
anybody
right.
doing surgery on themselves and messing with their lungs, don't drop anything in there.
That's it.
The duck call room with Willie Robertson.
You never know. You never know. Look, we had your wife on here a couple of, I guess that was last week. She had nothing
to say.
Rousing thing. No, she had plenty to say.
Okay, good.
She had nothing but rousing things to say about you.
Yeah.
She was talking rousily about me.
She was.
Yeah.
And your commitment to miss golf for a Mother's Day lunch. Like you had really impressed her and.
Yeah.
And really, that was the best of both worlds because I said I wasn't going to play. They didn't have a Mother's Day thing. And so I played golf anyway, but I still got the credit for saying
Did you
I
know that they weren't going to do it? So you were like, oh, yeah, I was going to.
100%. I was in the second roundabout coming from my house. And I said, I've got that thing you wanted to do. Not Mother's Day, the week before Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And I said, so I wasn't going to do it. And she goes, oh, no, that never came together. And I was like, well, let me get to texting.
I'm back in, boys.
So I actually played some golf, which is new to me.
I'm back in.
Yeah, I got some new clubs. Thank you, LA Golf. I'm excited about that. But, yeah, I'm glad she was speaking highly of me.
She was. She was very impressed with you missing, because she pointed that out that it was the week before. She's like, you know, Mother's Day, you expect it, but it was y'all were going to celebrate the week before.
No, but speaking of how your life is going, I actually was at church two Sundays ago when your daughter, Sadie,
was
the guest speaker.
Correct.
She's done an excellent job
about
God's promises and know your enemy.
Thank you. That was great, wasn't it?
No, it really was. She did a fantastic job on that.
Gifted.
She really did.
She's so gifted. Yeah, that one, especially that Sunday.
She's a great speaker.
She's unbelievable.
Where'd she get that gift again?
No.
Unbelievable. It's something divine. I can tell you that. She's been doing that since she was like a little kid. So, like, that's a...
There's videos of her doing that at like 4.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Standing on the bed.
She's very good.
She's unbelievable. Yeah. And that weekend, I was a little concerned. I actually called her, and she told Corey later, she said, "Dad has never questioned my capacity." Like, and she's done a lot of stuff. But she was doing the women's retreat right before. And I've been to the retreat, and I'm like, look, that may be kind of tough to do the, you know, all in on a retreat and then get up and preach like that. And she ended up doing the retreat. She did the whole thing. And
I asked somebody, I'm like, did we warn her? Like, that's she's about to go through 48 hours of, like, hardcore, like, getting close with Jesus. And then, like, getting up on stage after that going to be tough. And never fazed her.
Yeah, we had a mutual friend, Johnny D, and I have a mutual friend, and he said, "Oh, she'll do fine." I said, "So says the guy who doesn't preach on Sundays." Yeah. Because that's a thing. Like, that's a thing in especially two services. And what's amazing about that weekend, even just now, let's throw in one more. So Saturday night, they come over. She actually was in the, she practiced the speech to Corey and I, and it was great. It's 10:30. Honey was going to spend the night with us so she could wake up, be prepared. Honey just takes off running. Honey and Christian are on our bed. Honey does a face plant off our bed. And so then they're at the hospital. So they're like, "We're going to the emergency room." And I'm like, "Hang on, time out. Now let's, you know," because generally I'm like, "Let's look at it and
let's assess the situation."
That's not overreact.
Where I grew up.
That's not overreact.
That might give me a flash.
That would have been a giggle.
Yeah, somebody give me a flashlight. Let me check in pupils and we'll be all right.
Oh, Will fell off the bed again. It'll be all right.
Rolled over in his bed to even check. So,
keep it down in there.
They end up in the at the hospital till 2 a.m. that same
day
after the deal.
And then she preached two services.
And then she laid it out.
And laid it out. It was that is wild.
It was good.
She's unbelievable.
It was good.
That was a great message. And I'll give you a little secret. I just left her little organization, and I am a backup singer on her music project.
Well, you are a platinum selling recording artist. So
is that big time?
And you were.
In fact, I said I've never been more prepared for a podcast vocally because I literally just sang.
What do you want?
I mean, apparently, you just sing in a can. Somebody paying you money. So,
pay you big money, boy. Sing in a can.
You want to take us to break to our first break with song? Then you're welcome.
Can.
To.
How do we want to? What are we breaking to or out of?
Just go into a commercial. Go into a Psy commercial.
All right, boys, we're going to a commercial from the Duck Call Room. From the Duck Call Room. We'll see y'all in a minute.
You should head to Tishomingo right now.
So Sadie's singing now?
She does a little everything. She's cutting they're cutting an album.
That's good.
It's called Sadie and the Psychotics.
That's good.
Sadie and the Psychotics. And Willie's one of the Psychotics.
I'm just backup. I was backup vocal.
Oh, I love it.
JD, you'll appreciate this, and Martin will too. Like in 45 minutes before, I'm sitting on the couch. Corey's like, "Everything all right?" I'm just like this morning. Long weekend, long trip. She goes, "Do you want to sing backup?" He's saying, I'm like, Yeah.
And then initiate the hack. Initiate the Willy hack.
I haven't drank any coffee yet. I'm just like, oh my God.
Just so all you listeners are clear, that Willy hack generally occurs about 20 minutes before dark in a deer stand while you're videoing him. It never fails. It's like the moment you've been waiting for all afternoon,
and he
gets
out.
An uncontrollable hack. And I'm like,
and you know what?
But he still kills them.
Thank you.
If I sneeze one time, they gone. They leave the county. He can get to hacking, and here they come running. I'm like, man, you sorry sucker.
Well, so I heard a deer cough one time too, so we all cough.
.com.
Secondhand smoke. It is bad for you, boy.
It's my favorite story ever.
A deer proved that to me.
Oh, man.
It was a German deer, though. So.
Yeah.
Secondhand smoke, boys.
They were Germans. Well, what did you do this weekend if it was a long weekend?
Long weekend. Right. I went to the Museum of the Bible. Had a little gathering there. I spoke there which was really neat. They just asked me to come, and I said I will. And so I was with some of the Green family from Hobby Lobby, and just some other good friends were there. And, yeah, we toured the Bible. We had all kind of great talks, and so I gave a little speech. And then I actually stayed in the museum. They have rooms in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Night at the museum style.
Oh, dude, I'm running through there in my underwear. No, I'm just
If I was still your assistant, I would have explored every nook and cranny.
Yeah, it was. There's a lot of nooks and crannies in that place. That's a giant place. It's a cool spot. And so, yeah, I got to go hang out up there. And then from there, I went to Kansas City. I met Corey in Kansas City. And we had this, there was a big thing called the Send. Francis Chan, Andy Bird, kind of put this thing together. There were several ministry things there. It was 10 to 10.
10 a.m. to 10 p.m.?
Yeah.
I hope it's not the other way.
So I flew in from D.C., so I missed some of the beginning of it, but yeah, I was there to the end, and it was super powerful. There was thousands and thousands of people. It was at Arrowhead Stadium. Yeah, I hung out. LaRoche was there. A lot of good friends were there. And so, yeah, it was awesome. And yeah, the worship at the end was just spectacular.
Carrie Job.
Mm-hmm. And Cody Carney. Yeah, I get the Cody and Carrie mixed up, but they did unbelievable. So it was awesome. They sent them out. And the next one is in Norway. And they asked Sadie to speak in Norway at the Send in Norway. And then next year, this time, there's one big one in Nashville, which I can't wait for that.
So you got Kansas City and Sadie gets Norway.
Yeah. I didn't speak. I was just there.
He just attended.
You were just a VIP.
I was telling Bryant, my new assistant, all about the Kansas City airport and how we've lived. Which, by the way, if you're from, that's a terrible airport. But look, it's horrible.
It's horrible.
It's a gar. It's a hard gar.
This is one of those, like, you know, pre-9/11, I bet it was really cool. And then they just put a wall right through the middle of it, and so it's so skinny on both sides, like you can't really maneuver. But it looks like they're redoing it. There's a whole new, I think they're gonna finally redo that airport. But I was just talking about how we used to live there. He was like, why? And I said, well, we used to fly to Fort Scott all the time. And so Martin was this poor guy, had to go pick everybody up.
It's exactly an hour and 27 minutes from that airport to Adam LaRoche's gate if you drive 5 miles an hour over the speed limit and don't run into any stupid traffic around Overland Park. Mm-hmm. I have made that drive so many times. Because, yeah, back in the day, Buck Commander, they had a big problem with scheduling. They couldn't all come in on the same flight.
We still do. We haven't fixed that.
Why would that make sense? They would be like 4 hours. So it's like, go get one. But, you know, you couldn't leave them there for 4 hours either, because then you get accosted for that. So it's like, I had just enough time to go pick somebody up, bring them back, drop them off. I had to do it again and again.
Just a loop.
An hour and 27-minute loop. And you would think, man, Kansas, that's cool. Nope. Nuh-uh. Nothing to look at. I mean, absolutely nothing. Just wide open spaces. And then you spend 30 minutes in the Cabela's getting tags.
Yep.
It's right there on the side of the interstate.
But then you got to the Mecca of Fort Scott, which made it just awesome, great.
And you go to the New Grill and get a large chocolate milk. I mean, that was like the highlight of the whole thing.
This trip, actually, a lot of things popped up. So there were some food issues on all these travels I was just doing. One was we went to Carmine's. Has anybody been to Carmine's? New York?
We went to the New York City.
So New York, well, there's one in D.C., so this is the most gigantic portions of food I've ever seen. I mean, it's crazy. And so it's a great spot. And I was super excited. But as I was going in, there was a group of us. And I thought, oh, no, I bet I know what they did. And they did it. Pre-selected menu.
Oh, no.
Now.
Always a gar.
Now. Now, here's where I'm at, you know. I got hurt one time really bad on a pre-selected menu. And some goober wad canceled the next meal because he thought we were eating at a nice restaurant. It was pre-selected. Same way, Johnny, pre-selected, which was noodles. It looked like kids' food. Like, this is what you put out for, like, hey, we got 50 people and we want to go cheat. You know, it just wasn't what I wanted.
We want to fill everybody up.
So here's where I am now in life. So I slipped off to the, I said, look, when I leave, I'm going to order my own meal and I'm going to take it, but Jack, just keep it on the lowdown. Yeah, no problem. Well, everybody gets on the bus. Well, they're waiting on me. And I'm like, well, y'all just go. I'll meet y'all later. Like,
I'll get an Uber. Everything's
fine. I'm good. And so, and then they figured out I'd actually ordered and they were like, was there a problem with the food? I said, no, I just really wanted to order. You know, I wanted something here. It's a special place, you know.
I really wanted that chicken parm. Like, I mean, it's fine.
Is that the chicken parm with the pepperonis on? Uh-huh.
No.
Oh, I thought it had the little.
No, I thought that was a different spot. Actually, I didn't even get the chicken parm. Oh. I got the seafood pasta. So he brings it out. I kid you not. I held it, and then I had Brian hold it, and we guessed. And both of our, we were around 18 pounds.
Of food?
Of food.
You?
One order, one person.
18 pounds of food?
It was like a bowling ball. In fact, we switched out because we had to walk back to the hotel. We had to switch. Like, it was hurt. That's how heavy. It was way too much food. But we did get in the museum, and then we ate our food. And so that was kind of one of the deals.
Those were the days.
Then Saturday night, the food was not. You're at the football stadium. Bad situation. No food. Yeah. No problem. Everything closes now. Everything's like closed.
Everything closes at 9:30.
No problem. JD, what did I order?
Domino's pizza.
Come on, son. Get on the app. It says it delivers.
Thin crust, pepperoni.
Credit card went through. I'm high-fiving the lobby like, hey, suckers, I'm fixing to get food.
Pizza.
I start getting a call from
Domino's.
Domino's. Hey, what's up? It's 11:30. That's what time it is. Just wanted to let you know your order will be there. It's going to take 3 hours.
Was it coming from Missouri?
3 hours. That's what he said. Your wait time. They've already taken the money.
So I'm 2 o'clock.
Like
2 o'clock.
What kind of Domino's y'all running here? Somebody's going to. I said, well, I guess I'll cancel. Yeah, sorry, buddy. And I said, well, do you even know which person I am that called you? Because I called them. Yeah. Like, you know, I was like.
It's very interesting.
Mm. Three hours.
That was one where I was really excited. Like, we got through, we got the food, and we ate peanut M&Ms for dinner.
Here's my question to you.
Sounds pretty good.
I've had worse.
Domino's. Hey,
on the 18 pounds, what was in the bags for 18 pounds of food?
We pulled out two trays that looked like a to-go for like a catering service. And you open them up.
Oh, the whole trays?
Yeah. The whole bottom was pasta, and it was seafood.
Did they give you the leftovers from the?
No.
From the pre-selected?
No. This was hot. In fact, it was so hot you couldn't already.
They just gave you the extra.
No, it was. I guess it's family style, meaning like a family of eight.
How much was it?
They Googled you. They know your family's big.
I don't know. I don't even know.
They don't care.
It went on the big group. So then when they got their bills, like, oh, here's the pre-selected plus
Willie tagged $500 on
you. We got 20 pounds of food and took it off.
I will say this. You travel with him, you do not go hungry.
That's okay. Well, I did go hungry Saturday night, but Sunday, flew back, Dallas Airport.
Papasitas.
Shrimp. How many shrimp brochettes do you eat?
Well, so
they come with four, but you can get them.
Wait a minute, we
a la carte.
We figure
get three.
I know, and I was trying to tell $4 the story. Like cheaper. Johnny D, figure out how to get one extra shrimp, and then Corey says, "I'm getting the chicken enchiladas." I'm like, "Have you lost your chicken enchiladas?"
You do it a la carte. And it's the same price for two a la cartes as it is the meal, and you get two extra.
She ordered the chicken enchiladas. No. And then ask for one of my shrimp, like my precious.
No. Oh,
and since I'm on a roll, I gave it to her.
He's on a roll.
But I was thinking I was going to get, like, I'll give you one shrimp and I'll get one enchilada. And
no.
I got to admit.
She was crushing too. We were all crushing. We were starving.
That's one of mine and Brittany's biggest points of contention.
Sharing food?
Just order what you want. We do okay. Order what you want. Please don't take any of mine.
We're doing all right.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
We're not to a point where we need to share a meal. Like, I'm going to get what I want. Look at me.
Yeah.
This isn't.
You're like me. I married somebody looking at her going, I'm going to get half of that meal too for the rest of my life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Nope.
Not
at all.
They just want to taste.
Then they like want to share.
They just want
to
taste.
She said, "What do you get?" And I said, "What does it matter what I'm getting? That should matter nothing to you. Whatever
I get." That too.
She said, "No, it matters what you're getting." I said, "It shouldn't.
Anyway,
it shouldn't.
Yeah,
you're not eating it. You're not like all you're doing is smelling it."
Thank the Lord somebody else goes through this.
100%.
I think most humans go through that.
Because every time I'm like, "You sure you don't want that?" "No, I don't want any." As soon as it sits down, I see that hand coming. I'm like, "No."
That's right. You said you didn't want any.
No.
That's right. Nope.
There's a way to do this.
Right. You should order it.
It's like $4 for a side of it. Just get it. It's fine. I'll eat that too. I'll eat what you don't eat.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
None will go to waste.
Yeah, we're cool. Like, it's unreal. All right, well, let's take a break. Yeah,
we got a Martin soapbox.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We'll be back right after this.
I spent a weekend one night in the duck call room.
I was like, where are we going?
No, his old Jay that night. Willie, Christmas album's dumb. I'll never forget that night.
Who said that?
The Jay, your brother-in-law.
Oh, he said it.
Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, well, how many have you sold?
Thank you.
He said, anybody can record a Christmas album and they'll sell. And Willie said, oh, really? How many have you sold?
Thank you.
I laughed.
Oh, that Jay.
Yeah. Yeah,
how many?
I got so tickled. Man, I got tickled on that deal. That was funny. But, so boss, you got a busy summer coming up too, don't you? I mean.
We
got our summer camp.
I just like that Willie brings his iPad with stickers on it to places now.
I like that.
I left him with a good thing.
I like him, Willie FM. I don't even know where that is, but that's awesome.
You weren't even on that.
Indiana.
Was it Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody listening to this has heard of Willie.
103.5. I'm going to find
out. The Willie. Remember they had ducks. Were you with me?
Yeah,
they had ducks all in the
studio. Warsaw, Indiana.
Yeah, they had little ducklings running around. That was fun. I'm doing, me and others are doing sportsman's camp at Camp Chioka.
You don't spend any time out at Camp Chioka doing anything?
A lifetime out there.
Projects.
Son. That's where it all came together. That's where I met my wife, found the Lord. My kids worked there.
And now you just chop down every tree you need to chop down.
No, I chopped down a couple.
knocked them down. A
couple
boy.
That need to go down.
Yeah.
We still have a few spots open. It's June 26th through July 22nd. It is what is not going to land me in Norway.
June 26th through July 2nd.
Yeah.
You said 22nd. It's not a month-long ordeal.
No, it's not a month-long. 1 week, we teach hunting skills. We'll have Phil out there. Sal be out there. Jace, myself, and other friends. Martin will be out there.
We got
dog training. Johnny D will be there just bringing the fishing angle. Oh, he'll be out there doing fishing stuff.
Johnny D going to set up a booth.
I'd just be selling hats and t-shirts.
We're going to have to charge Johnny D for booths.
But I'm telling you, there's kids out there, probably some of your kids listening, that need to be outside in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We don't like cell phones out. We don't like any of that. So this is your chance to learn about pretty much kind of how we grew up. This was like our house all the time, which was like sportsman's camp. Think about that. If you know of someone, send somebody out there. It's going to be really, really cool. Yeah, we just teach them all kind of things, hunting and fishing and skills. And it's a great time at Sportsman's Hunting Camp, Camp Chioka.
The first year we did it, that kid caught his first. He's in the brochure. He caught his first fish, and he was the most excited. That dude was fired up.
Oh, it was great, because I didn't know if he caught the fish or if the fish caught him, because he didn't know what to do.
He just started backing up.
He was just getting straight pulled by that fish. He didn't know what to do. That fish, I was like, come on, get him on up here, son. We'll get him. But it is a good time out there, because one of the questions we get asked, even in emails and messages and all that, is, I'm new to hunting. How do I get started? What can I do? You can get a week long of it right here.
Yeah.
And it'll give you everything from trail cameras to – I generally hang out on the fishing side because we got enough people to talk about hunting. So I stick with the fishing side of it. And
amen.
It's a good time. It's just – I mean, the other cool thing is it's a sportsman's camp, But it's all based around Jesus too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're gonna hear the gospel. It's gonna be shared with them.
Yeah,
it's every day.
It's gonna be hard to separate that aspect of it. So
yeah. So it's
It's spiritual, and we do Camp Chioka before that. We do that's literally a Christian summer camp that we do for all ages, and so they're gearing up for that. But then this is one that's specifically around hunting, but same message, still the same throughout the summer.
Yeah. No, it's a good time. I highly recommend it if you can, if you're interested, if your kids are interested and you don't know, because a lot of kids get interested and the parents are like, I ain't ever been.
Yeah.
So, if it's something that you can't teach them, then we can help do it. It is a good time. We've had several repeat attendees. Mm-hmm. So if that tells you how much fun.
Girls and boys, either one.
And 12 to 18 are the ages. So
12 to 18. Yeah. So if you're older than that and you just starting out, send someone else so they can
tell you,
can teach you, teach you, and not repeat the same mistake you did.
You all right?
Si, you went to what was it like when you went to summer camp as a kid?
I loved it. Okay. Did you go to summer camp?
Yeah, of course he did.
At Fort Bistineau, or not Fort Bistineau, Lake Bistineau.
Lake Bistineau.
I was like, Fort Bistineau. That's where
you went to summer camp called NOM.
Basic training.
NOM, be calm.
No, it was actually fun because I grew up in the outdoors, or I should say, in God's creation. Okay, that's one thing that, everybody should go out and experience it. Okay, and it'll help you find the Lord. Okay, if you've looked at what he's created. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's so many, my words are, is there's so many perfect things he's created. If you look at the fish kingdom, the bird kingdom, and everything else he's created. Okay, you can't help but go, and then you'll find the Lord, his son.
Amen.
I can dig it. Absolutely. That's one thing that keeps us out there.
It's
because of that connection. Because if you didn't, what would you go for? So, all right. Well, let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Are you going to Wyoming?
I don't know.
Montana.
I don't know what your schedule is.
You could have asked my assistant.
Yeah, that's right. Ask Brian.
I just figure I'd ask you.
Johnny D.
I don't go through assistants.
See? You never liked when people just tried to cut through you and go to me.
I double.
No, it always drove me crazy when your friends wouldn't ask you, simple questions.
Or K.
I kind of was okay.
Or K.
Yeah, or K would have to call me.
What's
John
my
David?
Son doing?
Where's Willie?
Oh, I wish I had a dollar for
Tuesday
every time I
lunch.
Answered that question, too. Where's your best friend, Willie? Yeah, I'm like, hey, I don't know. It's your son.
It's
like,
Tuesday at lunch. I don't know.
I mean, it is. Well, you talk to him more than I do. I'm like, no, that's a lie because you talk to him every day. So we're talking to him the same.
She calls a lot.
So we've touched on it.
You replaced me.
Yeah, the new assistant. He's been here long enough to get a nickname.
Just got a nickname.
What's his nickname then? Tell the world.
His name is Bryant, but his new nickname as of this week is Tenacious B.
Tenacious B.
Now, it's sort of a riddle that has something to do with my former assistant called Johnny D.
Johnny D and
Johnny D solved the mystery. I asked him just off air, and he
just off air.
he just solved the mystery. What is the connection to Johnny D to Tenacious B?
Well, there was a little Jack Black joke thrown in there, which was Tenacious D. That's not worship music, by the way. If you go listen,
hang on, he's not filling the gaps. Jack Black has a band called Tenacious D.
Mm-hmm.
You're acting like that's just, that's like common knowledge. That's like the Rolling Stones or something.
I mean, it's a pretty big deal.
Well, I mean, not everybody would
to us. That. I don't know. I don't know if it gets much.
And then Johnny D is a giant fan of Jack Black.
Nacho. You did have a Nacho Libre poster in your office.
It's a poster, right? Yeah.
He's a funny guy.
Well, you're a fan.
I do
if
love.
If you walked in the door right now, you'd have lots of questions.
There are some things I can say that you and I'm trying to figure out if it's you or the people that you hire, but their dress code is scarily similar.
Like, nah. See.
I mean, his shorts are shorter, but they're still athletic shorts on a Monday.
I feel like now I'm gonna just like I did with Johnny D. I have to take up for Tenacious B here. Somehow
I'm for it.
He's not that. He comes to my birthday, which he just gave his explanation. It's an outdoor birthday party. So he didn't get the memo. It's a dress up. He wears shorts and a t-shirt to an outside Louisiana event. But everybody then threw on him that he's like the slobbiest guy ever. I know the slobbiest man ever. All right. I've been to like formal events with this slobster with his gym shorts and thrown out a restaurant. Like
you weren't allowed in that restaurant either, sir.
He can't come in with you. He ain't dressed right.
So I'm saying, like, when I'm with Tenacious B at an event, he's buttoned up. I mean, compared to Johnny D, he's buttoned up. There's no food on his face. Like, he's like, looks like a clean person, you know?
Well, I haven't seen him.
Somebody's getting this, like, he's a slobster. And I'm like, actually, he's not a slobster.
Well, I haven't seen him on the road. I've just seen him at the office.
Oh, he's like, yeah, he looks like, he's dressed nicer than I am. I'll say that.
He's trying to make a good impression.
Johnny D's like, high tops, no shoelaces, double extra large running pants.
Comfortable, man.
T-shirt, and then the food. There's always food in the beard, on the shirt.
But not anymore. Look, he cut it all off.
He's so shorn now. I trimmed it up
the other day.
Is this the new look? Is this what it's going to be?
I don't know. I just got bored and cut my hair.
Who gets bored and cuts all their hair off?
Well, he just turned 33.
Yeah. And you?
Yeah. You, me, everybody. Everybody needs somebody. Everybody.
Oh, Si singing along now. I love it.
The duck call, sing along.
Oh, so we're keeping Brian, though. He's got a nickname.
He got a nickname. He's in.
He's hanging around.
I like him.
He's got a nickname. Yeah. He is, I would say this, the exact opposite of Johnny D in every way. Look, we would sit there on a trip, and we would go 3 hours. Not a word is spoken.
I would have quit.
He would not say a word. The other night, Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we flew back. He's getting the Uber car. He just stands up and he starts getting his stuff and he starts walking out. I looked at Corey. I said, he doesn't say much. You just got to watch him. He's moving. That means the car's out there. But he's not like, hey, car's here. No, it's just like he's
a silent. You had so many years of me, you hired a silent one.
He's reading books every trip, like he's reading some book, He's like, very studious. He's just, it's the opposite of Johnny D.
I can read a book.
I can run a chart line.
How long were we together?
Me and you? 9 years.
9 years. You know how many books I saw Johnny D taking on trips reading?
The Bible.
Zero. Yeah.
The Bible.
Well, not many. I'm saying occasionally.
I was just guessing.
They got them on your phone, too, if you really need a book.
But he's just different. He's just different. He's not, he's just not,
He is different. I'll give him that.
Different kind of guy. But he's young. He's young, one, and he just, he hadn't been here but the whole year. Since the beginning of the year. So.
Quiet people are cool. I like quiet people. They let me talk.
That's what.
Then I can be the loud guy.
Yeah. I asked my best friend how much he talks. None.
That's a true statement.
My best friend won't talk. He just sits there. That's why we work together so well.
Very true statement.
I can't imagine driving 3 hours and not talking, though.
I didn't say drive. I don't know that we've driven, but like.
Oh, I thought you said driving.
No, just like we're in the airport, and I'm like, there just won't be anything to say. It's just not much.
I'd talk to strangers.
Oh, yeah. Johnny D's a talk, yeah.
Are you the guy on the airplane that sits down and says, hey, man, what's up?
I don't like that.
Oh, okay.
No, once I'm on a plane, I like to get in my little area. Unless it's sitting next to Willie.
Tenacious brought up a good point, too. This has not happened to me.
Tenacious.
Guess who his former boss was?
No idea.
John Luke. He said, I worked for two Robertsons, and the first one was John Luke. That's what a weird, one. Surreal world we're in right now.
That's a new one.
He did ask somebody me. That's worked for my son.
I didn't.
He worked at Camp Chioka at the sportsman camp. Yeah.
He did ask me last week. He came in my office. He said, I need to know something. I said, all right, what's that? He said, so I'm booking flights.
Bum, bum,
I said, he said, I understand you've done this a lot. I was like, yeah, a few times. Not a big deal. He said, they won't let me book Willie first class, but they'll let me book first class. I said, easy fix. I said, book yourself first class. When you get there and print that boarding pass out, you hand it to him.
Oh, that's what he did.
Yeah. I said, and you take his. I classic. Said, you wait till you get there. I said, you hand him yours. You take that. I said, they don't know the difference. They don't care. I said, but you know who does care? I said, if he walks past you,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. I said, you might as well get off that plane going back to Missouri because you ain't coming here. I said, that you ain't coming back here.
Hey, wait a minute. You're trying to make me out like
no,
a guy who
you're
would...
the boss. You're the one paying for the dadgum trip.
Right,
if somebody gets...
I am that guy, so yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know.
But I'm saying, like, you're the boss. You're paying for the trip. You the one that rides up front if somebody gets to ride up front. Not me.
Oh, it wouldn't. I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I told him my other tip. I said, always book the seat behind him. Don't ever sit right in front of him.
Water
you will
down
wear
your
a,
back.
You
so
will
funny,
wear a Dasani
always...
bottle right down your back
the
whole trip.
Yeah.
Look.
Well, I sat behind Corey yesterday coming in.
Oh, poor thing. Her shirt was
and
wet.
And so I kept. No, I didn't pour water, but I
sugar.
I turn her air conditioner on when she's not watching. It's blowing right, and then she's like, and she'll be like, "Why is this air blowing?" So she's
so cold in
about
here.
About 8 minutes later, I just creep up there and do it again.
Back up.
No, I'm not saying anything other than you're the man paying for the trip. So if one of us is going first class, it's you.
Yeah,
his
booking flight skills are not in the rage. JD was. He was the man on
I
that.
I did it for 9 years, though. I mean,
yeah, he'll get there.
Year one was not as well.
And there's times I couldn't get it done for my phone. I text Johnny D. I'm like, hey, I need some help. I'm delayed. I cannot get service. Like,
you
this is it will not load. Will you do this? He's like, yeah. Done. I'm like, thank you.
You know, it's funny. I signed out all of Willie's stuff, but for some reason, when Willie flies Delta, I get notification like, your bag has now arrived. And I'm like, hey, Willie's somewhere. And I can't get it to go. I don't want this, but no, I still get them.
But here it is. Here
we go. We're locked out of the United account right now, by the way.
You've been locked out of that for
years.
That's
a good place
to
be.
Well, the problem
is, even
he put
there.
All his stuff on there. Like, when it asks you the personal questions, it's.
Oh, what's your pet?
It's what you would like. I mean, when we put stuff in there, you put stuff in there. Look at he's getting.
We like the same thing.
Johnny D, security questions.
Well, I'm trying not to answer your security questions on air here.
Pizza, Dublin.
I don't know what they are.
Pizza, Dublin.
I quit. People are listening. Pizza in Dublin, those are my favorite things.
Hey, when they tell me I had my own, you know, what was your first bedroom like? And I see, that's when I know it's not my security question, because I didn't have my own bedroom.
But yeah, the actual answer is just had
when
one.
What is your first vehicle when you're like a F4 250 jacked up? I know that's not me.
That's not what I had. It was a 99 Z71 Silverado 6-inch, 35-inch Mickey Thompson's. Boom!
There it is. There it is.
With Duck Commander seat covers, mind you.
Whoop, whoop.
That was the last pair of those, by the way. Willie gave them to me.
Yeah, we never. That's because we never
got paid. I'll say I didn't give you anything.
It's because we never got paid, but that's fine. All right, we'll be back right after this. All right, we're back. Johnny
and we're
D.
Back.
What's in that mailbag for the boss?
We got to, you know, always save a little evangelism ones. Have we done the? I think we have done that one. But we're going to go back to it. Here's one from a guy. It just says religion in the subject. And he asks, what Christian religion are you guys?
Is that like denomination?
I answered it. I think he answered it in the question.
Christian?
Yeah.
But if he's talking about denomination, I'm a paraffala of them.
A melting pot?
I'm into all
paraffala?
Of them.
Paraffala?
That was Rucker's word when he used to try to say plethora.
He wasn't
he
good
said,
at
you know, that paraffala. It's like a paraffala, a bunch of them. We're like, plethora?
Yeah. Sorry, but... Yeah, I'm
yeah,
for a
I'll
lot.
Just say I would personally just say I'm a follower of Jesus. But there's a lot of different terms in the New Testament.
I would just say, hey, here's the three I run with. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
That's who Si's running with.
That's who I run
with. That's it.
And if you run with him, you're a brother or sister.
There you go. It's that simple. Don't overcomplicate
it. Yeah. Don't make it, you don't need to go any further.
Don't make it more and more than it is.
Yeah. No.
All right. That was a quick answer. All right. And here's one that I immediately starred just reading the subject line. Need help sharing the gospel. Willie's into that. This is from Jeremy.
Wait a minute. We passed that one up?
No, I'm about to read the email.
Oh, that was the title.
That was just the subject.
Yeah, that's subject.
And so I was like, oh,
he scrolled to the bottom to see the guy's
name. Copy that.
So Jeremy from Centerville, Ohio, emails in. His wife and Jamie had a baby girl born really early, didn't make it. So we're sorry about that. They were hoping for a miracle. They didn't get one. And we hate that for you. But the rest of the email is actually kind of amazing to read. We want to glorify God through this, and this is what I need advice on. We're having a celebration service, and many of our friends and family who don't know Christ will be there. What's weird is, I saved this one for Willie. That service is actually happening today.
Oh,
so
really?
You won't hear this until after. But I think it's still a great thing for people to hear. What are some scriptures that you think would help reach these people we love? I'm not a preacher or a public speaker, but I love Jesus and I want them to be affected by the Holy Spirit because of what we're going through. I know where my baby girl is and I'm going to see her again someday, and I want all of my people to be there with us too. Jeremy in Centerville, Ohio.
Mm. Wow. Well, yeah, that's a, yeah, what a tough story. And that, you know, life is going to be full of tough things that happen. That's, I guess that's the nature of being here on this earth. I was reading this morning about the guy. Remember they were asking the question, who sinned? They were talking about the guy who was ill or had an affliction. They were like, who sinned to put him in this condition? He said, nobody sinned. This is so that the glory of God can be revealed in people and in matters. And that's the thing. You know, that's the non-perfect nature of this earth. And so the hope is we're going beyond, especially when we're talking about even a situation like that of death, which we know is going to happen to all of us. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 is usually where I go, because Paul says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And so once that sting of death is taken off and you see death as a victory, that should change your whole perspective in life. I mean, knowing where you're going and what eternity is going to be like can literally affect what happens on this earth. And it's a great chance right there to share that good news, because you have that opening, you have that thought, you have that time where people actually stop. Anytime physical death is near, someone you know, someone famous, someone you see, and you're like, oh, and you automatically think about yourself. You know what I mean? You automatically think life is short. You know, life is short. We're not here. Something could happen. Something could happen to one of my children. And so that then gets me to thinking about eternal things. And once I'm thinking about eternal things, that's where the gospel can be laid in at the perfect time. Kind of like if you're starving today, you're hungry, it's a great time to talk about food, because you're hungry. And so that's going to be that motivation. And then it's learning. One is, it can be that simple of a story right there. This is what happened to us. This is who we believe in. This is what we believe. We believe that we will see each other again at a different place. And it's because of Jesus. If that's all you got, that's all you got. That's like a simple message, like the blind man. Remember, he got healed in the New Testament. Jesus healed him. Someone came and said, who healed you? He goes, look, all I know is I was blind. Now I can see. And his name was Jesus. That's all he had. He didn't know verses. He didn't know scripture. But as we dive into the New Testament and we study all these encounters between people and how their lives were changed when Jesus came, especially in the book of Acts, after the gospel had actually taken place, then we can start picking up different pointers and different scriptures. Say, oh, this can help. I can read this. And so there's a lot to learn, but they can take that simple message right there of death, which is the great motivator for all of us, because we all know that life is temporary, and who knows? It could start out early, like there with death of a child or death of an infant. And also it could be throughout life. Who knows? You just never know.
That's why I've told people death is only one thing, means one thing to me. It's going to be a change of address. Okay. I'm going to leave this earth and I'm going somewhere else.
He's going from the triple wide to the big house.
That's streets of gold and field pot road.
I'm going from a trailer to the penthouse.
You can't put an axle under that when you're going to, so.
I'm telling you.
Going from field pot road.
Oh, man.
I would just say, Jeremy, your attitude that I see in your email is going to be your, like,
you're already doing it.
Your testimony right there and the faith that you have, they're going to see that.
Yeah.
And that's to me is what gets people that don't believe a lot of times is when they see joy and they see hope, because let's face it, without Jesus, I don't know why people have joy and they are hopeless. So if they see the joy and the hope you have, they're going to say, I want that.
Yeah.
And reading your email, like,
it's attractive. Yeah. Like I always say, whatever you see attractive in me, it's just the reflection of the light that I'm reflecting. It's not necessarily me that's good at all, but it's the light that I'm reflecting. And that should, it won't, but it should create people to say, man, how'd you get through that? I really don't know how people get through life without
the
hope of the gospel. I don't understand.
Like, I'm with you.
What's your basis? What's your
why wake
life
up?
Is it? You know, and it does. Just it. Someone would say, "Man, what an unlucky thing that you know." And I just, there's so much more. I am working on a book about the gospel and how to present that to others. And so now that I have my fancy iPad here, I'm working on that. So I'm getting closer. It should be out soon. But yeah, we'll go through different theories and different how can people tell that story even better. Because you do get better at it. It's like any craft or anything that you do, you get better. And the more you share it, the easier it becomes, you know. Yeah. The more it's just pouring out of you and just leaking out. Like, I mean, I could, you know, we talk about hunting and fishing and marriage and my kids. Like, and that stuff just rolls off your tongue. It's not awkward. It's not strange. And that's the way the gospel should be coming out of. It's the same way, just leaking out constantly. You can't help but, you know, Paul says, I can't help but tell people. I mean, how could I even talk about anything in life without talking about the gospel?
There's five symbols, okay? Arrows, a cross, a tomb, you know.
Anybody, a couple more.
Anybody can preach the gospel.
A couple more arrows.
He covered them all when he said arrows.
Yeah.
He got them out the way.
There's a cloud in there. Sky.
The Word left heaven, okay? He became flesh. He willingly took my sin, took the punishment for my sin on the cross, okay, and everyone's else, okay? The cross, they took him down after they killed him, put him in a tomb. The cross or the tomb couldn't hold him. There's an arrow going back to the Father. He rose from the dead and ascended back to the Father, where he sits there, and every time I mess up, I just look up and say, Lord, it's me again. Yep, I've been stupid. I've done it again. Okay, because we're all sinful, flawed human beings. He's already done the main four. He ain't got one thing left. That other arrow that I was talking about, he's coming back to get his people. Okay, and he's never going. He walked this earth for 33 short years. He's never setting foot on it again. I'll meet him in the sky. And I ain't going to need no plane, no helicopter, or jetpack. Okay, I'm going to be on Jesus' power. Okay?
So and that would be,
I'm going to live with throughout eternity with him, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Now I'm going to sit around you. I'm going to find me another spot in heaven. So I'm going to let you take one table, and I'm going to get another.
No. Look, I'm going to become
there's going to be a lot of people want to talk to you.
Well, no, but I'm going to be, for the first about 3 months, I'm going to be an interstellar. Traveler.
He's traveling, boy.
Because I'm going to ask Jesus, Lord, is it okay if I go and see the rest of your creation? Because we've only got a glimpse of it.
And it's only going to take you 3 months?
Hey, well, I'm just going to go.
You got to turn it.
He's going to take his time.
I ate up for 3 months.
I figure
I can see a pretty good bit of it in 3 months.
1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, we'll cover what Sid just said. That is the gospel where Paul reminds the church of Corinth the gospel. John 1's another where the Word became flesh. So there's a couple of couple of verses you can look up to read about Jesus and his plan.
Yeah. Yep. Jeremiah 29:11 will be a good part to start. The Lord's telling you, hey, you know, you have no idea of the plans I have for you to give you hope and to give you a future and to never harm you, but only do what's good for you.
Yep. Well, I'm going to send us out of here with a verse. And Jeremy, look, you're going to hear this later. I just emailed him and gave him a couple of the verses y'all said. But Jeremy, we're praying for you today, man. I think you're going to make a difference just being who you are. But the verse Willie said, 1 Corinthians 15:55-57, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it, because he rose from the dead, and he's promised the same thing to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks
Amen.
For being here, old
Thank
boss.
Thank you, boss. We
Call
appreciate
me later.
You.
Call me.
We'll see y'all next time right here.